Cars,
Super Late Models,
Thunder Cars,
Modifies,
World of Outlaws,
Arcos,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior. Here in the Racetime Radio studio, we got a sunny day. We got Talladega all weekend. What did you think of that, Junior?
A little bit of a Kurt Busch issue here. Oh, my left side headset doesn't work.
Ah.
Yeah, we're going to have to call in for a backup here.
Really?
But we're here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Heck of a weekend.
What did you think of that one?
I loved ARCA. let's leave it at that. I don't want to get into trouble, but it was good. It wasn't Talladega like I remember, but lots of good racing in the Xfinity series as well. But man, that ARCA race was it was definitely the show of the weekend.
Yeah, it sure was. Now, it's terrible news right off the bat. We want to recognize James Hilton, a longtime ARCA competitor. He and his son on the way home from Talladega were killed in a car accident. Our thoughts and prayers go out to not only the Hilton family, but obviously everybody in the ARCA community. That is a severe, severe loss.
Absolutely.
James Hilton was a cool guy. Interviewed him a few times at Daytona International Speedway, and he was the real deal. He was the real deal, and I know he's going to be missed by everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Longtime competitor in ARCA, and then obviously, you know, through the NASCAR ranks as well, and a winner in NASCAR, a winner in ARCA, and just a staple at the racetrack. And thoughts and prayers go to the entire Hilton family, and obviously everybody involved. It was. You know, really interesting to see all the Xfinity teams kind of on their way back. You know, they stopped and put a tribute right there.
Yeah,
on the,
seen
on
that
the
on
crash
Twitter.
Site.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was kicked off by the Johnny Davis team, and then as well followed up by a bunch of other teams as well. So, just a tough deal. It's going to come into question. It's tough when you spend the entire day at the racetrack.
Yeah.
The entire weekend at a racetrack, and then try to get home. So it's definitely, it hits close to home, because I think everybody that's a racer has been in, you know, that type of situation before, where they've spent, you know, 12 or 14 hours at a racetrack and
been there, done that.
You know, you turn around and drive for 8 hours or 7 hours and just a really tough situation when you get into those types of, issues on the road. I don't know what happened, but it's definitely you're tired at that point when you're on your way home, and it's definitely a tough thing, and it does raise a lot of awareness for a lot of teams. Definitely make sure you're right before heading home.
Absolutely.
Make sure you're in driving shape.
You bet. What a weekend at Talladega. Weather, I guess it rained there quite a bit through the week.
Yeah.
Leading up to the weekend.
Yep.
Thankfully, the weather cleared up, and it looks like everybody had a blast at Talladega. As normal, you've been there. You love that track.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. The facility itself is awesome. But really, they fought water issues all weekend on the racing surface, and not necessarily on the track itself. The banking allowed a lot of the water to run away, but they did have some weepers down the back straightaway all weekend.
Yeah, and on the entrance
and then,
to pit road.
Yeah, so anywhere where it's flat down there on the entrance to pit road, you got to think of it. You're right at sea level down there. There's no real place for the water to run off to.
Right.
And when you get a heavy saturated rain like that, it hangs around for a few days, and it rained cats and dogs for a couple days down there. So they fought it all week, and hats off to them for fighting through it. It's definitely a tough deal, and it burns some people getting onto pit road through the course of the weekend, but there's nothing you could do about it.
No.
There's absolutely nothing you could do about it. And I think the only real real person that it hindered was John Hunter Nemechek fully
right,
in
right.
the Xfinity race where he ended up getting the moisture on his tires and getting around. But just a tough gig all the way around down there this weekend. It was a different style of racing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. ARCA was probably the better of the three races.
Absolutely.
That we've
hands
seen.
Down.
And normally with ARCA,
yep.
You expect them to get, single file and drawn out a wee bit.
Yep.
Because there's a big difference in between the have and the have-nots in ARCA.
Yep.
But we didn't see that this time around. They were lumped together pretty good.
They were. Definitely.
Side by side all day long, if not two and three wide. There was some dynamite racing in that ARCA race. I know it got a little jumbled up at the end, a lot of cautions. Things played out a little differently than what we may have anticipated. But you know what? That's Talladega. That's the way it goes. With the Xfinity race, I was quite disappointed, actually, with the way that race was sort of strung out. And today with the Cup race, I think that was pretty well, right down the middle, if you want to say. That was the typical Talladega race.
Yeah.
You got the big one. You had a couple of them. And there was, lead changes. There was passing. It was all good. As far as I'm concerned, what I've seen today, and I didn't see the whole race, but I did see a lot of it, I was pretty entertained with what I seen.
Yeah, well, the first half of the race, the fuel strategy and the way that everything is playing out on the Cup Series side, on the restrictor plate side, the fact that they've, the way that they come down pit road, between the stages, it just kind of works out that you have to pit in between both stages, which is not uncommon, but they try to play the game and try to stretch it out as much as possible. And when you do green flag pit stops, it does string it out. So really the entire first stage, other than the first eight laps, nine laps, it was, single file and strung out, gone. And really the second stage played out the exact same, all the way through. So, there were the wrecks and there were the cautions and stuff like that. But I seen a different complexion with the Cup Series cars this weekend, just simply with the drivability.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the fact that they were hard to drive. It was the fact that they were unpredictable when they were driving.
Yeah.
And really, I think everybody complained about the same thing. And really you could see it. The cars were sideways, but they weren't controllable sideways loose where you could fix it. It definitely stopped a lot of the erratic motion that we would see from the Cup guys. And really that kind of put a premium on being down on the bottom. So, it was a good race at the end. It was a good finish, a little bit anticlimactic because nobody really wanted to go. I think it's a fact of how many cars were left on the lead, in the lead draft, you couldn't really make a whole lot happen. So good for Joey Logano, hats off to him, and as well hats off to Spencer Gallagher, a friend of Racetime Radio's, for winning in the Xfinity Series race, and as well as Zane Smith for picking up that W in the ARCA Series.
Well, we got lots to cover off here tonight. We're going to get to more of Talladega. Of course, huge news with NASCAR buying ARCA. You'll hear all about that tonight, and we've got a lot of great guests. And I want to tell you who we got coming up on the program. J.R. Fitzpatrick has got some test time in on that number 84. We're going to check in with J.R. right off the hop. We'll also catch up with DJ Casey. He is a driver on Canada's East Coast in the Parts for Trucks Tour. We'll hear from DJ tonight. And we're going to catch up with Ken Cunning, which is the general manager for the Parts for Trucks Tour, and as well Scotia Speed World. So we got a lot on the docket. And Junior, we're going to kick it off right now with our first guest, and that is J.R. Fitzpatrick.
Who?
How are you tonight there, Mr. J.R.? What's going on?
Who do we got? Who? I've never heard of this guy before.
How's going?
Yeah, doing real good. How about you?
Well, just got up from the shop.
Twisting some laps this weekend, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to go to Flamborough on Saturday there, but I guess it was too wet, so they called it. So we pulled it back out of the trailer, changed gear, and headed off to London and went to Delaware for the day.
Ah, good stuff. How were you happy with test number one on the 84 this year or what?
Yeah, that was the second time we got out. We went to Delaware for their first practice day as well, and we took the old Hampi car that we got now, and it's an old car. It's 2012, but we cut the back half off it and did some new stuff in the back. And at first practice, I wasn't really sure about it, but brought it back and did a few more fine-tuning, and we went. And I'll tell you, I was really happy with it on Saturday. So looking forward to going to Flamborough on Tuesday.
Yeah, good stuff. Now, you guys are going to start racing. Do you start racing next Saturday? I know Sunset Speedway is laid out to start next weekend. I believe Delaware Speedway is going to fire up on Friday night. How about Flamborough? Is it green next Saturday?
Yeah, Flamborough starts on Saturday. It was supposed to be our first race yesterday, actually, but because of the practices being delayed, they pushed it all back. So, you know, it'll be good. There's supposed to be a lot of cars signed up, and I'm looking forward to just getting as much seat time as I can and try stuff when there's not much pressure on. So, you know, that's what Flamborough's going to be all about. Have some fun, get some seat time, and try some stuff for the tour races.
Now, JR, it's been a little bit since we had you on the program, and, you know, it'd be a good time to get an update on. I know you got an ambitious schedule this year. You've got a little bit of everything happening. Have you got your way figured out now? Do you have a concrete schedule for the 84 team and what you're going to do?
Yeah, Laura typed it all up. We got, I think it's like 26 races or something planned for this year, which would be a lot for us. I mean, you know, luckily we got prepared two cars for this upcoming season, and I'm racing a couple cars for other people. I'm going to go to Newfoundland, race a Forsman car, so a lot of cool stuff going on. You know, obviously the IWK 250, we're going down for the week, making a family vacation of it, so it'll be fun for the girls come for that. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun this year, but, you know, got to try and make sure that, you know, with the racing side of things, just make sure that I'm not out there to always try and prove something. You know, I think last year, with all the struggling that went on, then once I got back my own stuff and was, you know, very competitive with it, I was driving a little too aggressive and probably too soon because I felt that I had to prove something to everybody. But you know what? I really don't got to prove nothing to anybody. So I'm just going to go have some fun and win some races.
Absolutely. So obviously the APC Tour is in there, and that is your focus for the year. Is that mm-hmm. correct? You're running for the championship in the APC Tour. And then are you also running for the championship at Flamborough as well?
I mean, that's the plan. Okay. But obviously now with going to Newfoundland and then the IWK 250, I'm going to miss two of the Flamborough, so I'm trying to find somebody that will run for my points, because if somebody's got a car, I can sign them up as my secondary driver, and they can run for my points. So, I don't know, I'll figure it out. I'd like to, because, you know, Flamborough, I've been racing there. Oh, geez. My first late model win was there. My first late model start was there all the way back in 2002.
Easy. You're going to
start around Flamborough a long time, but never raced anywhere at a local track full time. You know, like I owned a super stock team for 2 years and we won two championships, but I never driven that local track myself competitively for a championship. So that's something I'd like to kick off my list.
I was going to say easy. You're going to start dating yourself now when you start throwing dates out there. You're going to start showing your age.
I know. I'm my birthday is what? 2 weeks, and I'll tell you, I'm starting to feel old when I hear that number.
Listen, you're the 2006 CASCAR champion, the national champion. You were the final CASCAR champion before NASCAR came in and swooped up what we know as CASCAR and turned it into the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series and on into Pindies. You were the final champion. That's still got to feel good when you look back at that.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, like, the Pinty's deal, it changed a lot when NASCAR came in. You know, it got expensive and we lost a lot of the cars. I mean, last year was CASCAR. We went out west and there was 45 cars. The next year there was 22. So, I mean, it changed the playing field a lot. You know, CASCAR was a lot like, you know, the ASA back in the day or the All-Star, where there was just so many cars and it had a feeder division, right? It had Sportsman, it had CASCAR Western and Eastern. So, I mean, you know, that's one thing I love that all the tracks are doing. Well, not all the tracks, but majority of the tracks are doing is still running a local Flamborough and Delaware late model program where, you know, a guy can go race, and then if he wants to run a tour race, you know, he can. You know, there's still a couple of things I think that the tour needs to allow those guys to come in. Like, you have to run a different transmission and these shocks, which I understand why they want to do it. They want everyone to be on the same, because last year the rule book was, you know, there's black, there's white, and there's a lot of gray.
Right.
So it really made the competition not as tight as it's been in the last couple of years. So they really cleaned that up. So I, you know, give full credit to the APC series for doing that, for making sure everybody's on the same playing field. But you still need to think of the guys who can't afford to race every race, or just want to come out to one to support their track and maybe race on the tour with, in my opinion, Ontario's best. You need to give some kind of grace for those guys. You know, like, I have a friend of mine wants to race, but he can't, you know, fish out whatever it is, $2,500 for a transmission. So
right.
It's you know, for me, because I like seeing a tour with lots of cars, and you know, fans come when they see lots of cars. It's kind of a piss off to me, but you know, the tour is doing really well car counts, and that's all we can ask for.
Exactly. So the same car, you're going to use the same car both at Flamborough on a Saturday night series and the APC series. It'll be the same car. You've got everything. No, it's not the same.
No.
Ah. So see, you got two different
my
cars.
My father-in-law owned that Ford Outlaw car, and we traded it for this Hampi car because it's pretty tough to sell an Outlaw car right now.
Right.
Or last year, I should say. So anyway, it's a really nice car, and you know, we decided whatever one is going to be the quickest would be the one I run on the tour. Well, you know, that car felt pretty darn good on the weekend, so I don't know which one I'm going to take yet, but they're both beautiful cars. They both are APC legal. I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Well, and a passer might strap into the other one too, right? Like, there's got to be a passer out on the racetrack if there's a Fitzpatrick out there.
Hey, I've been trying to get my father-in-law to drive. He just, his heart and soul is in Super Late stuff. He's been doing it for 27 years or whatever. They've been around. He doesn't really have much interest in getting a crate motor car. So, you know, I tried, but he just, you know, I try to tell him, like, you know, they're a lot of fun to drive, and they're a handful, not like an outlaw car where it's got a lot of motor but a lot of body. So I've tried, but, you know, well, I guess one thing, too, he can't reach the pedals. So.
not with you, long legs.
All we got to do, JR, is drill a couple holes in the helmet, you know, where his ears are. That'll raise the volume up, and then just jack a whole bunch of air pressure to the right rear. It'll feel like you're driving a super.
Well, yeah, there you go. And you know what? As long as he's got lots of air coming through the cab to get his long blonde hair flowing, he'll be happy.
Too much. Incredible.
Too much. I love it.
JR, big news over the weekend. Did you have one eye on Talladega this weekend as you were doing all your other stuff?
No, to be truthfully honest, I hardly watch anymore.
Okay. Well, big news this weekend. Don't know whether you heard it or not. NASCAR came in and bought ARCA. ARCA is now owned by NASCAR. Say, you know, things aren't going to really change for 2018. It's going to be status quo. 2019 is supposed to be the same way, but the big change is coming 2020. Just thought I'd ask you your opinion on that. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think for, you know, from a media marketing, you know, social standpoint, I think it's excellent for ARCA, but, you know, my fear is, you know, that division is fairly cheap to race compared to anything else with really NASCAR stamped on it. So as long as they keep the cost down and don't mandate, you know, too many rule changes, then it'll be excellent. You know, that's what costs a lot of money nowadays every time they want to change rules every year. So as long as cars are safe and fast and guys can use old cup cars maybe, then I think that'll be a really strong division. But just don't change rules too much.
Yeah, I guess time will tell on how things will all shake out. I know a little bit later in the show, I'm going to play part of the press conference where it was announced that NASCAR took over or bought ARCA. It's an interesting piece. Fans are going to want to stay tuned here to Racetime Radio and have a listen to that if you happen to have missed it on the weekend. JR, no doubt you're good pals with DJ Kennington. He was down in Talladega on the weekend, pulled out, I believe, a 20th spot finish. And, of course, Alex Labbe, another guy that you raced against many, many times in the NASCAR Pindy Series. He did a remarkable job as well at Talladega. What's it like flying around a super speedway? I know you've done it in the trucks and in Nationwide. What's it like flying around? You know what these guys are going through.
Yeah, I mean, it's fast. Pack racing is definitely intense, you know, more than what it looks on TV. I mean, when you're going that fast, that close, three wide to people, it is nerve-wracking, and the cars move around a lot. I mean, on the old Daytona, it was a little more of a handful because you used to go through those bumps, but now with it being paved and Talladega being so big, I mean, a single car run is pretty boring, but when you get in a pack at 200 miles an hour, it gets your attention.
I remember the night sitting right here, you know, and we had the big screen on and watching you at Daytona International Speedway. You were in that TRD truck. I believe it was the TRD truck, and you were right up front, man. You were flying for a lot of laps there. You damn near won yourself one at Daytona.
Yeah, we led most laps, and I think we pitted off sequence, and I went back to like 15th, and we came back to 4th. So that was a pretty cool deal. And to put it in perspective of my age for you, that was almost, 9 years ago already.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Unfortunately, it does.
Yeah, incredible. Just incredible. So you got a busy schedule all planned for you, and you're going to be bouncing around. Sounds like you're going to be all over the place this year, which is great news for fans all the way across the country. Your first race out is going to be Saturday night, this coming Saturday night at Flamborough. Is that the plan?
Yep. They're having an open practice on Tuesday, so I'm going to leave work early and go shake down the car again at Flamborough. We had a little upper link issue at Delaware, but we fixed it today, so we're going to go make sure it stays intact. And like I said, I have a really good feeling about how the car is going to be for speed because, I mean, it was already better than our car last year. I mean, I know it was cold and whatnot, but the track still needs rubber, and it's really happy. I mean, it is working really, really good. So I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to how Flamborough is going to be this year because they've made a lot of changes, positive changes, and a lot of people are going there, so I'm excited to be a part of it. And if I'm correct, I think there was 26 late models signed up. So,
wow, good.
You know, if you can get anywhere from 17, 18 a night, I think that's going to be pretty awesome. And the only thing that's going to be really interesting, and they do luck of the draw. So when you first walk in, you draw out of a hat to where you start in the first race. So, I mean, you can start first or you can start 20th.
Oh, man, you're going to be doing whatever you can to pull the right one there.
Well, yeah, you know, hopefully if someone's short. So I can just look in.
And you also need somebody with good luck to be pulling the number, just so you
know.
Well,
yeah, that's why I don't pull it.
You probably shouldn't go draw.
Take your daughter.
I should. I could do that, yeah. Because I remember, like, I used to pull for Pinty's draws all the time. I always pull number one, so we're always the first to go out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Never worked out.
Too bad you never did that and drew the pull.
Oh, I know. That'd be nice if I could do that now, but knowing my luck, it'd be 20th.
Yeah. How's the crew well shaped up? Who have you got helping you out this year?
You know, I got the same tight group we've had in the last couple of years. A couple new additions. Paul Baker, who used to work with Mal Freed and worked with my dad for many, many years. He's not with the 23 team as they shut down their APC program, so he's come with me for most of the events, I believe. For sure, the Flamborough stuff, so that's awesome. He's a really good help, lots of experience. Sandy from Windsor, and obviously Chris and Sean, who are local here, they always help me all the time. I'd be totally screwed without them. And then my father-in-law, and I got Steven, who was spotting for DJ today, so he'll be a cool addition. He was, I think, the last few races with me last year. He kept his best. I can't say that he kept me calm, but he did his absolute best, which is all I can ask for because I can be a real handful at times. So
no.
He's good there. And then I think Teddy is going to come to a few races with me, so that'd be cool if I get Teddy to come.
Yeah, Teddy McAllister would be a great help.
Yeah, and then Bob Wise, he's been around forever, for as long as I've been junior cast car racing, he's been around. So I got a lot of good guys helping me, and, you know, they've been around racing a long time. They love it just as much as I do, and, you know, racing is a full-time job, really.
It sure is, and I know you're a busy guy on a full-time basis. This is great news for everybody, JR, and I guess the talk's all done now. It's time to strap in and go out there and see what you got.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to bolt some four new ones on and no more talk. Let's get at her.
Incredible. I know we can't wait. JR, this has been great catching up with you tonight, kid. We always appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's JR Fitzpatrick, the number 84. You're going to see him somewhere this year, Joe. He's going all the way out to Newfoundland. He's going to be at the IWK 250. You're going to catch him at APC races. You're going to see him at Flamborough Speedway. And I wouldn't doubt wherever else there's a race and he's got a little wee tiny opening, J.R. Fitzpatrick's going to be in a car.
I know at the beginning of the interview he mentioned that he's not going out there to try to prove anything to anybody. And you know, that's cool for him to say, but he is the type of guy that, you know, he does have a lot to prove. He wants to get out there and he is a figurehead in all forms of racing in Canada.
Sure is.
He has done it all. He's been there. He's done that. And, you know, the evolution of him as a short track late model racer versus a cast car racer, he hasn't been as dominant as he wants to be. But they've been building that program. And you got to think of it, going from cast car is not the same thing as a late model, right?
Oh, God,
not
even close.
And there is so much difference from the way that they ran their Pinty's program. Well, it wasn't Pinty's. It was Canadian Tire Series and even into the cast car days before that. I know he's ran a lot of late model racing. He's won a ton of races, you know, in late models and super lates. He's an Oscar champion. He's got a lot of accolades. The past couple of years, though, he hasn't got it done on the checkered flag side like he wants to.
Not like he wants
to.
Yeah, I
agree. And, you know, this year, I feel, you know, looking at it, and I've had a couple conversations with him now, the emphasis and the effort that they've put into the program rolling into the year is second to none. And not that they were unprepared or anything else before.
No.
I just mean that they have crossed their eyes, or they have dotted their I's and crossed their T's for this year, and I think he's going to be a dominant force in that APC series, and then as well at Flamborough and wherever else he goes. Right,
right.
I think he's going to be really good at Riverside. I've watched him race there. I've spotted for him at Riverside. He's an animal, and
he's fast. He
gets it done. You got to attack that racetrack, and that's a place where he's going to be really good at. You know, looking at how JR races and you know how he gets it done, APC races are relatively short, right? In
sure.
In the grand scheme of things, and really he's really good if you let him go for a short period of time and he gets after it for 20 laps. He can burn a set of tires off the thing.
Sure.
And then on the other side, I've seen him do really good in the really long races, like the 300 lap races, where he saves and saves and saves. I think that this style of racing in the APC side really suits him now versus before. And I think he's kind of getting into that realm of, you know, you've got one set of tires and you've got 100 laps, or you've got however long the race is, you've got one set of tires to get the job done. That has never been JR's motto. Right. And it, you know, even in the Oscar series, when he dominated in that series for the entire year, really, it's only 50 lap races. So the tire savings portion that these APC guys go through, I think he turned a corner at the end of last year. I've watched all the APC races that I could, and I think he's turned a severe corner on learning that tire saving portion.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that combined with the effort they put into building that car, and I'm not saying anything that he wouldn't echo, I think. I think that he just, he's in his prime and he's going to go get the job done this year.
Yeah, pretty amazing. So. You know, years ago, and not that many years ago, we would all stand back as race fans and look back at the good old days and we'd talk about Junior Hanley. And it was true. Junior Hanley is and still is Canada's legend.
Yes.
He was the guy that you could depend on to go to a race. If he was going to show up at a race on the other end of the country, you knew that Junior Hanley had a shot to win that race.
Yes, absolutely.
He wasn't going there just to, you know, maybe come home with the top five or somewhere around there. I kind of, you know, I think in years to come, I believe what they're going to, when they start talking about the good old days, they're going to be talking about J.R. Fitzpatrick.
I think so, too.
I got that feeling. JR has really been there, done that. He's a young guy.
Yes.
100%. And he's really competitive. He eats, breathes, and sleeps the sport.
Yep.
Like as a pile of racers do. But the difference with J.R. Fitzpatrick is he's committed. He's committed, and I do believe this is going to be really super interesting this year to watch him in the APC series, to watch him run on a Friday night or a Saturday night program, and to watch him in that IWK 250 up against Kenny Wallace, against all the Pro Stock Tour teams. You know, JR's been out there. He's had success in the Pro Stock Tour. Went out, ran one race, and come back with a checkered flag. He was in a good car. He was at Riverside.
Yep.
All those things lined up. But I'll tell you what, you got to have the talent to get in there and do that.
Oh, yeah.
J.R. Fitzpatrick did it. And he had to save, conserve. He had to go fast. He had to make all the right stuff. And I'll tell you what, he was up against the best there is at Riverside the day that he won. I can't wait to see him in the IWK 250 July the 14th this year at Riverside International. With everything that he's going to be up against, I'm telling you what, right now, that is going to be the race that you do not want to miss.
Yes.
That's going to be the one.
100%. And the equipment that he's going to roll in with is
his own.
Just as good as that car that he climbed out of in Victory Lane out there, that Donald Chisholm car. You know, the piece that he's got now is just a good quality, if not better. You know, I think that what you're going to see is you're going to see J.R. Fitzpatrick in a lot of these stats at the end of the year on the APC side.
Oh, yeah. Put him at Ducasa. Put him at all these racetracks here.
Yep.
Add in what he's got coming up. I'm telling you what, it's going to be a big year for J.R. Fitzpatrick and the fan base. I think it's going to go right off the hook for him this year.
I
can't wait. And we're lucky. We're the ones that get a chance to see it and to experience it along with him. That's super cool stuff. We're going to hit our first break. When we come back, we're going to bring in a guy that was a rookie not too many years ago. He's no rookie anymore. He is a real hard-nosed racer in the Parts for Trucks Tour, drives the number 94. We have DJ Casey going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay right there. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Derek Ears, my driver of the number 7 Wave Freight Super Late Model, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
The stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Scotia Speed World.
One of the best competitive opening days that we've ever seen.
Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the Cummins 150.
Hey, there's a lot of fast cars here today.
Saturday, May 26th.
I'm so glad to be back here. Try to get to the front, I guess.
Boys, this thing's going to be good.
It's the Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World.
The car control in the front of the field is incredible.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
It's going to be a lot of close racing.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide. Only on racetimeradio.com.
It's all about consistency that wins the championship.
Get to scotiaspeedworld.ca for tickets and info for the Cummins 150.
But you got to be there at the end.
Hello, I'm Bruce Selry, host of Moolala, Money Made Simple. My mission is to help you get a better handle on your money so you can live the life you want. Not an easy task, what with all the jargon out there and the pressure to cover the bills, save a little, and live a good life. So tune in for a fresh spin on money. We'll talk about saving, spending, investing, organizing, and taking action so you can afford more of what you love. Moolala, Money Made Simple, every weekend on Canada Talks, Channel 167, Sirius XM.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your Victory Lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Catch National Post Radio with Anthony Fury on Canada Talks.
Sue Ann Levy, Toronto Sun writer.
Donations were down. Their sponsorships were way, way down. Their donations were down to 100,000 from 800,000 or 700,000. And everything was down. And they refused to believe that the police band had anything to do with it.
Tune into National Post Radio weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on Canada Talks, Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side off.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to the Joes.
Hey, shake and bake, Cal. Woo, shake and bake.
Here on Race Time Radio.
Hey, you two, get your asses in here.
There we go, Junior. You're back in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're there. Yeah,
we did a little swap here. I've got a new headset.
New headset. He's all good to go. Both ears work. I thought maybe it was one ear that wasn't working.
That's my problem. I thought the same thing. That's why I was kind of freaking out there a little bit.
Incredible.
But, we're good now.
So glad you could tune in tonight here on Race Time Radio. What do you say we get right back to the hotline here, and we'll welcome in our next guest. He's getting all set for the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour that will kick off at Petty International Raceway in just, I want to say 2 to 3 weeks here. Driver of the 94, we have DJ Casey with us. DJ, how you doing, buddy?
Not bad, yourself?
Doing pretty good. What's happening out there in Nova Scotia land?
No, not much. Just trying to get everything ready for this race season.
Yeah.
So I'm a little behind schedule right now, but we're trying.
Yeah, a little behind. You got the car. Tell us what kind of condition. How are you looking?
Well, we bought a brand new car. So the car's still in Michigan as we speak, being assembled by Butch Van Dorn and the guys down at Van Dorn Racing Development.
Ooh, nice.
So we got our blue car that we ran last year, kind of in a million pieces, but we could kind of throw together if we needed it last minute. But the plan is still to get this car ready for Petty and you know, give it our best shot.
Incredible, Junior! Add another one to another brand new car for the Parts for Trucks Tour.
I know,
this is
right?
going to be off the hook.
I know, and the more important thing is you know, adding on to the conversation that we had last week. It's a different manufacturer again.
Right.
Right? Like, this is 7 guests on in the past 7 weeks that all have new race cars that all have a different builder.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
They're all the big name builders, right? And that is kind of the neatest part. You know, the Van Dorns are not new to the Pro Stock Tour by any stretch. Of course,
no.
You know, Blankhorns have had a car from them and somebody else as well. I believe it was one of the past cars was a John Dorn or Van Dorn car, but you got to be excited to strap into a Johnny Van Dorn car.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It was strange. I got a phone call from them inquiring, you know, about me maybe getting in one of their cars. So that's kind of why we made the switch. They were interested in getting me back to where they think I should be running. And we were having a hard time with the Port City stuff. So we just figured we cut our losses where we were at, try something new. And they seem to be winning a ton down the States and tracks that are very similar to what we run on. And so anyways, we took the drive down to Michigan there about a month and a half back, gave them the deposit on the car, which they already started at that point, and they were just great people. They were easy to deal with, and just looking forward to having some factory support behind me this year.
Yeah, you got to love it, DJ, and they've got a good driver. You know, I can toot your horn. I've watched you run. You know what you're doing. You do a fantastic job, and I can only speak to Scotia Speed World and to Riverside. Those are the only two tracks that I've seen you race on, but I've seen you race on both of those a number of times, and man, you know your way around.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I consider those two tracks probably, you know, I probably get my best finishes there, you know, with IWK race weekend there that we almost won, and, you know, and a couple good runs at Scotia, but I really consider Petty probably my favorite best track. Just haven't had any luck. Like last year, first time we got that blue car dialed in, I think we were running second on that last restart, and the alternator gave out on us, and you know, I think we ended up rolling home like 15th. So you know, I'm excited to get a car that's kind of half prepped by them with you know, their knowledge, and see if we can't close the deal up there, because I really think that's probably my best shot at getting a win.
That's fantastic news. DJ, will you have any support at the racetrack? Buying a new car like that, it's a big undertaking. You're going to get stuff that maybe isn't going to feel the same. You know, it's going to work a little bit different. Will you have support at the track, or will it be something that, you know, you've got your phone sitting right beside you and you'll be in constant communication with them that way?
Well, I'm sure if I can get one of them down, I will definitely get one down. But I was told the very first time I talked to them, basically, don't ever hesitate to call. They're only phone call away. They'll do whatever they can for me. Where previous manufacturers, I kind of had a hard time getting that. And I don't know exactly why. We had, I think, 3 Port City cars now, and it was pretty hard to get any, like, you know, set up information from them. So it was a relief to hear that from them, you know, because that's kind of the biggest thing I lack right now is probably the bump stock information, because I came from the Sportsman cars coil binding into Pro Stock when we were coil binding, and then they switched up to bump stock. So it's still brand new to me, and trying to do it all on my own last year was a big thing to try to do. Without any previous knowledge.
Big time, big time. Lots to learn when you go to bump stops. There's a lot of different things, and little small things make a big difference, right?
Oh, if you're off, you know, an eighth of an inch, a 16th of an inch, you're way off. And that's not so much with coil binding. And you can make up a little bit more with coil binding than you can on bump stops. You know, it's either, or at least with the Port City stuff, it was hit or miss on them. Now, the suspension on the Van Dorn car is totally different. You know, they run external bump stop kits on them. So it's a little easier to work on, easier to understand from my perspective, and just interested to get working on it.
We're with DJ Casey tonight. He's out in Halifax, Nova Scotia, getting ready for the Parts for Trucks tour that will start out at Petty International Raceway. Our first live broadcast will come up on May the 26th, live from Scotia Speed World. DJ, is it a plan for you to run the full season this year, or what is the plan?
Well, I think it all falls on this first race. Like I said, the car's still in Michigan. And to get it down here, I'm supposed to go up there and test. So to get it down there, race ready and test it and then get it down here is my main goal. I don't want to go to the track this year 80%. I won't go there 100% and race at the level that I know I'm capable of racing at. I felt like I let everybody down last year. I didn't showcase what we could do. So, I guess it depends on how we're running, and sponsors too. We're in talks with a couple places, but it's hard right now down here to get much support. So we're pretty much doing this as a family deal. So, as long as things come together, we'll be full time. But if not, we'll race as much as we can, and just have a stress free, fun year.
DJ, you touched on it a little bit. The sponsorship front is definitely something that's echoed throughout the racing community. What are you doing differently to maybe attract those sponsors? What's that hunt looking like? Obviously, you don't want to tell me who you're going after, but what are you doing differently to help attract companies?
Well, in previous years, we had Fleming Motorsports kind of who are experienced more, so going after these sponsors. So this year it's myself. So basically, I'm offering that blue car up. It's basically a show car. We'll completely rebuild the car, basically put it on a car lot or at a business for displays, promotion shows, stuff like that. That I'll have time this year with my new job that I took that I didn't really have last year. And social media is a huge, huge thing. So the biggest thing I hear from all the sponsors is, return on their investment. So I actually started a poll yesterday just to see where people were at as far as who would and wouldn't support, companies that were sponsoring race cars around here. And so far it's 100% on that poll. So that should be good data to show potential sponsors that we do have a great following, that the fans are behind us and willing to spend, money at these facilities. Or at these companies and just help us get to the racetrack, right? And so far, it looks like it's going to pay off, but never signed any paper yet saying we were getting any money, so we'll see.
That's right. Absolutely. Brand loyalty is a huge portion of the backbone of you know, support across the board, both in NASCAR and IndyCar. Really, race fans support companies in racing, and I don't think that anybody in the motorsports community would say anything differently than that. I know when I go to the grocery store, I pick up brands that support in NASCAR before I pick up an opposite brand, that's just, you know, looking at the grand scale of things, those are brands that are, you know, in NASCAR, but we also support, you know, local that support the racetrack as well. We've always done that. And yeah, I'm pointing at my dad saying that. But, you know, we would get, you know, contractors that support guys at the racetrack to, you know, put an addition on the house. Or we would buy a car from a company that sponsored the racetrack. You know, that is part of motorsports. And I think the entire motorsports community can do better with it, and drive it home a little bit more. Just saying, you know, I'm doing this because you sponsor DJ Casey, or I'm buying this from you because you know do this. And I think that the racing community would benefit wholly from it, because I think the buying power of the entire racing industry is so huge you know, sponsorship at that point shouldn't even be an issue.
Yeah, sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. Sounds like a good idea, DJ, to do what you're doing.
Absolutely. Keep digging on that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good job.
Yeah, it's you know, it's something I seem to have struggled in the past doing. And I don't know what I was missing, really. I see it's coming together a little better this year. But I agree. Like, I mean, I go to a grocery store, you know, my number one thing I look for is, you know, my Pinty's wings, you know, or whatever, just because it supports the racing industry, right? But, you know, it's either way, you know, sponsor or not, hopefully we'll get out there and lead some laps. We're going to be racing for Laps for MD again this year, so that's a great charity.
Absolutely. Brad does a great job with that.
Yes, yeah, so we'll be putting a dollar towards every lap we lead. Hopefully we'll get some fundraisers, you know, and sponsors seem to like that too. So any money I can raise for that would be amazing. You know, it's something that I care about a lot. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, it should be a fun year. It's my first year in a completely top to bottom brand hammer new car. So, you know, I can't blame anything on the car this year. it's all on me this year, and I'm ready to take you know, the blame for us not running good, if that's the case. But I really think we're going to have a better year. And I think with the Van Dorns and just the network of people that they have around, and the knowledge they can offer, we're going to hopefully be a threat to win these races.
Hey, when you're a driver, you can always figure out a way to blame the car, my friend. I've worked with enough of you guys to realize that you guys can always find a way to blame the car. But I know you're not saying it like that. I'm just saying, as soon as you guys put that helmet on, you blame that car for everything.
Yeah, well, you know, I say that now. I say that now until we go into, you know, turn one, first race of the year, and it doesn't turn.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn car.
But the plan is to put that aside. I found myself putting myself down a lot the past, you know, year, just because we weren't running right. So this year it's a different mindset. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, you know, just if we're competitive, great. If we're not competitive, finish where we can.
Yeah,
and you know, not tear up any gear. You know, we got caught up in a bunch of little incidents that, you know, maybe were my fault, maybe weren't, but hopefully that's behind us, and you know, ready to get back to my competitive ways.
Well, and you're damn good at it too, I might add, DJ Casey. Always incredible watching you on the track. How is the crew coming together? Who have you got helping you out with that brand new race piece?
Well, we got a lot of the same guys that we had last year. Mostly all new guys, like, you know, they're guys that love cars, that basically want to learn with me, which is, you know, what you got to ask for. You know, it's hard to find a lot of guys around here that are knowledgeable on these cars already. The ones that are already racing or have teams. So I got a lot of guys that are new but smart. And, you know, obviously I got the Van Dorns behind me, but I got my old spotter coming back part-time. So that'd be good. He He helped us, you know, get a second place in the Atlantic Championships in my first pro stock race, and the IWK 250. He's phenomenal. It's Mark Williams. You know, and then now I have my stepfather who does tires. He's, I think he's the best tire guy out there, you know. So I'm excited. I just can't wait to get back. It's been a long winter, but it's been good because I need to clear my head. I wasn't the same guy, same driver as it was previous years last year because we ran the way we did.
Well, and that happens too. And that's really what makes a good driver even better is when you have a bad year, you go at it in a totally different way. It's attitude change. It's, equipment change. It's everything. And it sounds like, DJ, sounds like you're pushing all the right buttons to make yourself successful.
Yeah, well, I got the fire in my belly again. At the end of the year, they were trying to pour gasoline to get it lit back up, but we were pretty well done, you know, after the IWK 250 showing, you know, car failures and just not making the race, you know, totally devastated us because, you know, we had a shot at winning that thing a couple years back, and after that, we were just so down on ourselves, we weren't doing our homework properly, and that's got to change. So, you know, if I want to keep doing this and I want, you know, hopefully one day, you know, hold a Pro Stock Tour Champion trophy or further, you know, I gotta get back to where I was running. You know, my best year in these cars were when I ran part-time for John and my rookie year. So, you know, if I can almost win a race or two, actually, in my rookie year, I think 3-4 years into it, I should be collecting some checkers by now, so... It's time.
Well, how does the saying go? If it was easy, everybody could do it.
That's so true. That's so true.
Well, you're doing the right thing, DJ. This has been great catching up with you, brother. I can't wait to I'll catch you at Scotia Speed World. But, hey, fingers crossed you get that brand new piece and you're out at Petty International Raceway for the kickoff, bud.
Yeah, 100%. I can't wait to see you. And thanks for everything you do for the sport. And we'll see you at Scotia.
Absolutely. That is DJ Casey. You can check him out. Brand new race car, Joe. Add another one to the list. That is phenomenal news.
Absolutely. Yeah, the folks over at Race Car or Stock Car Steel will be loving the Maritime Pro Stock Tour this year.
All those builders know this tour.
Absolutely.
Every one of them.
Yeah, no, every one of them. And you know, when you get a chance for those builders to compete against each other, it's a perfect showcase ground, and you know, the young talent, it's not just young talent getting new race cars either.
That's no.
it's a healthy mix of both, and you know, looking forward to seeing what he can do. And Dylan Blankhorn was in a Van Dorn car you know, last year, picking up all those W's. So look for, you know, they know their stuff out there.
Oh, they sure do. Quick break. We'll be back with you on Race Time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Hey race fans, this is Chad Collins from Delaware Speedway Safety Crew. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam, heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
We've got the latest in gadgets, the coolest apps, and some weird ones, too. Plus, we'll keep you up to date with the hottest online trends.
With some of the world's top entrepreneurs and tech experts joining us from around the world for a look at innovation and how technology can make our lives easier.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B will keep you socially speaking on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and beyond.
Catch us on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius.
SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
East Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
The stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Scotia Speed World.
One of the best competitive opening days that we've ever seen.
Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the Cummins 150.
Hey, there's a lot of fast cars here today.
Saturday, May 26th.
I'm so glad to be back here. Try to get to the front, I guess.
Boys, this thing's going to be good.
It's the Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World.
The car control in the front of the field is incredible.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
There's going to be a lot of close racing.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide. Only on racetimeradio.com.
It's all about consistency that wins the championship.
Get to scotiaspeedworld.ca for tickets and info for the Cummins 150.
But you got to be there at the end.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Hello.
Okay, I'll start talking. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. here in the Race Time Radio studio. And if you're tuned in on SiriusXM Channel 167, hello to you, as well to everyone at the Performance Motorsport Network.com. And, of course, Gearhead Country Radio Weekly has Race Time Radio on it. And if you happen to have missed the program, don't forget, just go to iTunes. We're available now in the iTunes Store. Hit the iTunes Store, hit Racetime Radio, and listen away or get to racetimeradio.com. There's all those various ways to enjoy 2 hours of motorsports coverage with a slant to the Canadian side of things, Junior.
Absolutely. Hey, one thing I want to talk about is Cole Pern. Now, I don't know whether it was Cole Pern's idea. The Furniture Row race team today used for the first time ever a concrete road saw to cut the front bumper and splitter and bracing away from the right front fender.
They're now sponsored by Still.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was smart, wasn't it?
So
that was a Still
it's
saw.
Sad. It's sad that that is the highlight of the day that I brought out of Talladega.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what, that's cool. That was it was cool. I think that everybody echoes that. If you look through social media right now, it's all about road saws.
Yeah.
And, man, how cool was that?
Yeah, big time cool. Look, I got to stop you right here because we got to go back to the Toronto studio and do the news highlights.
Yes.
It's just 90-second package, and then we're going to come back with you for hour number two. And I might add, in hour number two, we have Ken Cunning coming up, the general manager for the Parts for Truck Store. We're going to check in with the boss and find out how things are coming for the season opener and see how things are coming at Scotia Speed World as well, because Ken is also the general manager there. And we got lots of stuff, including the ARCA NASCAR announcement over the weekend. And we're going to hear from the 100,000K winner of Elliott. We're going to hear from him. Spencer Gallagher. We got lots coming at you in hour number two, but we do have to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date, and then Junior and I are going to be back with you for another full hour yet here tonight on SiriusXM Channel 167, and we're going to do that in just about, well, I still got 15 seconds, so I don't know how much I can burn here in 15 seconds, but we're about to, Junior.
Yeah, well, that's all you got to do is just burn a few seconds. You're watching the clock really intently.
I am.
It's like time trials right now.
I know. I got to hit it.
You're staring at it. You got to hit it.
On the money.
You're there.
Not yet. I still got a few more seconds. And I might add, on the other side of this break, we are going to open the phone lines up and take your calls. We're going to do that in, 60 seconds. But this is it. I finally hit the spot. We'll be back.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see what you got up your
we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on, come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby.
Things
big run.
Racing.
Oh, my God.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side off, left side off.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing. The race leader on two.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
Just like that, we are back, and hour number two begins. I know anybody listening on racetimeradio.com live right now is going, I didn't hear no news package. What is that? What are you talking about, Joe? It's when you're listening to Sirius XM that you will hear that news package. So you see, you need a Sirius XM radio is what you need.
That's
and
right.
You tune it to channel 167 and you'd actually get your news update there. But you still got entertained. I digress. Phone lines are open. We'll take your calls right now. I've got a few minutes. Let's open the phone lines up. 888-572-2384. How did you like that weekend at Talladega? Wasn't that special? And we got a big weekend coming up at Michigan International Speedway. Don't forget about the spring race there. We do have Tone, a listener to Racetime Radio, that a couple of weeks ago called this program. He said, guys, I got a couple of tickets we're going to give away on Racetime Radio. Isn't that cool?
Yes, it is. And he buys four tickets. So I spoke with Tony. His name is Tony Sue.
Yep.
And like Sue St. Marie.
Yeah.
Talking to him we're kind of back and forth he always buys four tickets.
Yeah.
And he usually gives two away on Twitter.
Isn't that cool?
And that is so cool. That is a racer's bud right there. And an amazing guy, just a hardcore race fan and supporting the entire industry. And that honestly, he needs a Fan of the Year award.
Sure does.
That is definitely a cool gesture.
Yeah, gotta love it.
It's
and
gonna be cool. Yeah, we're gonna give them away.
We're
gonna give a cool package. We're gonna come up with an idea. And we've already talked about a couple ideas, Tony, so it should be pretty cool.
Yeah, and we're going to have Tony on here to give them away. That would be kind of cool,
100%.
Too. Yeah, that's going above and beyond. Michigan International Speedway, I know when Roger was the president there, Roger would listen to this very program.
Yes.
I don't know whether the new president listens to Racetime Radio or not, but if you are, you really need to, you got to do something for Tone. He's
absolutely
doing something to help your racetrack. They're huge. Yep. But it's going to be really cool. What a weekend at Talladega International Speedway. Got to put it out to both of our Canadian guys who were in the race. In the nationwide race, or pardon me, Xfinity race, it was Alex Labbe driving the 36. He was having a real good day, Joe, and then got pinched for speeding coming down pit road. And that really put him behind the eight ball in that Can-Am car. It sent him back a lap. So they really tried to regain it, but, it is what it is.
Both the DGM cars, Josh Williams is the other one, they both ended up getting pinched for speeding on pit road and seemed like a little bit of an epidemic yesterday in the Xfinity race. And then as well today, lots of news about getting speeding on pit road. Just a tough deal. You're going from 200 miles an hour with a small brake package down to 55 mile an hour and trying to maximize everything you can get. You're going to push it over a couple mile an hour sometimes.
It does happen. And DJ Kennington, got to congratulate DJ and the Gaunt Brothers 96 Toyota. Guys went out there and gave it a really good effort today. DJ as high as 14th, I want to say, on one of those final restarts. DJ was there consistently all day long, moving up in the pack and then, of course, towards the back. It's a big nut to crack, isn't it? Like trying to 100%. Race with all the world's best. You got to be so proud of DJ Kennington and Whitey and all those guys at Gaunt Brothers for doing what they do. Those guys are getting better results each and every time they go on the track. They're learning.
Yes, 100% they're learning. And, when you look at, you know, their Daytona effort that they put into getting down into their, you know, at Daytona. The past couple years, they've had a little bit of tough luck at Daytona, obviously tearing up a couple cars. You know, as well, their last time out over at Bristol ended up getting a little bit of damage as well. But this time, car came home completely clean. And you know, it'll be really interesting to catch up with DJ and to talk it through. But it seemed like they struggled with, you know, keeping the draft today. And that'll be something that they'll work on into the future. They had it at the beginning of the race, but the race pace just came to life at the end. And, you know, it seemed like everybody that got to the back without any draft and help behind them would just instantly lose the draft. And it didn't matter if it was the 96 car or if it was a 95 or, you know, even the 31 car. There was a lot of issues of holding the pack together with this new aero package. And you just need a car on your back bumper in order to go anywhere.
Joey Logano didn't need anybody, I don't think. That 22 car was good all day.
Yeah, it was definitely. It was a rocket ship all day. And
the 41 was real quick, too.
Yeah,
real quick.
Yeah. The Ford camp had it dialed in.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
Ford.
When you look at the 17, you look at the 4, you look at the 41, and the 2 car, if the 2 and the 12 didn't get taken out, I think it would have been an all-Ford top 5. You know, obviously it was a great day for those guys, and they definitely had the power. They had the steam under the hood, and you know, that FR9 package that they've got, you know, really, really plays well on the restrictor plate tracks right now. And it'll be interesting moving forward to see how they shake out.
Yeah, sure will. We open the phone line, and lo and behold, we've got our buddy out on that East Coast. Kent, what's going on tonight?
Not too much. Catching up on some more news here, and there's some more new pieces going to hit the track.
Yeah, DJ Casey with the Van Dorn car. What do you think of that one?
I don't know. You always hear the old adage is when these guys have these new cars, they have to work out the bugs. Mr. Man, there's going to be an awful lot of guys working out the bugs the first couple races.
No yeah. Kidding, right? Yeah.
Anybody who lands on it or anybody that seems to have their piece dialed in, they might be the favorite to start off at the first of the season.
That's right. Yeah. You got a 50-50 shot. Yeah, if you build a brand-new race car, you got a 50-50 shot of rolling out a lemon or rolling out a hunk of gold. And yeah. It just seems that way all the way across the board. And a new race car always ends up performing well once you figure it out. You know, it's definitely you got
to come off the truck.
Exactly.
Ready to roll is tough.
That's right. Yeah.
Look at Blinkhorn there a couple of years ago when he went to that brand new car. It took him, I think it was 2 races, and then he won the next 3. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, Talladega this weekend. I know you would have been glued to the tube, right? Did you catch everything?
I missed the first. I caught the winner of the second stage, and then I caught the last of it. But it was an all right race. Like,
yeah,
there wasn't as many big ones until you get right to the end, which I think that's the way it comes now. Is everybody tries to outlast. So they get to that last 10, and then it's free-for-all.
So. Yeah, it sure is. Now, big news that launched last week, we've got Matt Kenseth coming back. Sounds like Trevor Bayne is going to be sort of in and out of the race car. What's your feelings about that?
I was shocked that Kenseth didn't have a ride to go all season, but that's the way things go sometimes. It's not who you know, it's how much money's behind you.
Yeah, yeah, that's about it. What did you, like, Trevor Bayne, are you a fan of Trevor Bayne?
I liked him as the underdog, like that when he won with the Wood Brothers in the 21. I was totally like, that's cool. That's one of those things, Dan. You say, you know, that's cool. But like I say, it's interesting to see the new drivers coming through. I'm really wishing that the 88 would get there and get flying, like I think he's going to, but. He just seems to be having a learning curve, I think, off the bat.
Yeah, it is a little slow for Alex this year, right? He's not having the start that I think a lot of fans would have anticipated
him to have. None of Hendricks are, though. None of the Hendrick camp.
No, that's
is.
The big shock. Like, what's Hendrick going to have to do, like, to shake things up? Is it team-wise? Is it dropping a car for a year? Like, it just, like, he's got the money to put the fourth car and more out there, but it just seems like there's there's something amiss not firing with the new rules or new packages or something.
Well, I tell you one thing. It's not a new thing for Hendrick to go through a little bit of a slump, if you will. I remember a couple years back when, you know, Rick did something that was absolutely unheard of. He swapped the shops completely. He moved the 24 over to the 88 shop and the 88 over to the 48 shop and separated them and you know,
yeah,
really did a major
thing.
When
he did that, yep, they were still having wins every now and then.
Yeah, absolutely. But they haven't really done a major shakeup yet,
in
this season.
True.
So you haven't seen anything major, but there's going to be something.
July and haven't got a checker flag or two, you'll see something happen there.
Do you think?
100%.
Yeah. And I'd like to go back and listen to what you were talking about with JR to point out the fact about him coming to Riverside in the IWK 250.
Yeah.
You got to remember that weekend was the NASCAR Super Race weekend because the Ron McGilvery was rained out a couple times.
Yeah.
And that car was prepared for Jason Hathaway to drive it.
Right.
But because it got rained out on the Friday night again and had to go to Sunday, so he jumped into a car that wasn't even prepared for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And still drove it one, and at one point, everybody in the grandstands thought it was going to be Fitzpatrick, Chisholm, and Cliff Kulik's 1-2-3, but George got a little temper hot coming in the last few laps, and that didn't happen. But so you got to count him, don't matter what type piece he has. A contender that weekend.
Tell me that isn't going to be an exciting race. Throw JR in with all of the guys that run that Parts for Trucks tour all the time. Put Kenny Wallace in the mix. And
another name or two, but we're not hearing the names from Ontario. We're hearing the guys that are saying they were bringing out the Biederman car or whatever, and that they're bringing the trailer, so
right,
there's going to be a couple other cars coming with them, but we don't have
I'm hearing some names here in Ontario. A guy that threw his name on the ring or in the ring on social media. Don't know whether it's going to happen or not. Is Sean Chenoweth, and there's a couple of other guys here in Ontario that I'm hearing rumblings of wanting to, because it's an off weekend technically on the APC side. One big thing, and I just had a conversation with I'll call him out, is Gressel. Andrew Grizel, I had a long conversation with him in his shop, and the motor rules don't seem to line up. You need to buy it's just one of those deals. You need to buy a motor, like a crate motor, from the series in order to race, and a lot of these guys don't have that, and they're not going to buy a $10,000 motor just for one or two races. So I feel that, you know, as time goes on, I think that's something that they're gonna talk about. But
well, I don't think they'd have to buy one of their motors.
They can't
ship it down.
Yeah, well, they can't run their motor.
Ah,
well, they can't run an APC motor.
Their motor, Joe, but I think from the number of new pieces,
yeah,
that are going on the track, and knowing, I'd say there's now there might not be a grade A piece motor, but there's definitely some grade A ones that are probably out there sitting in the stock, because a few years ago when they brung in the built motor, crate motor,
yeah,
there was quite a few guys that went to try to run the built motor, and I think you've had one on. I think Greg Proud or maybe Vincent or one of the Island boys said that they're still running the built motor, and they have a crate motor in the shop.
Oh, well, yeah. Donald has got, he's got both. I know right now, Sean Turpel runs a built engine. So does Greg Proud in the 29. Those guys are running built engines. So I can't imagine that you'd have to go buy a crate to go run. You could probably have a built engine and run it.
But their rules are separated.
Yeah, yeah. I could see where, you know, things would have to be sealed.
Yeah, by them.
They keep a tight lid on it.
Oh, yeah, no,
guaranteed. 100%.
But
yeah.
What I will say is, if you are a Maritime Pro Stock Tour competitor and you want to see some Ontario guys and you have a motor that you want to lease for a night,
yeah,
I think there's about 10 guys here in Ontario that would definitely jump on board with that.
Exactly. Attach a fee to it, and if you blow it up, it's this much.
Yeah, exactly. I think that there's a market for that right now, and it would have to be a good motor for a lot of these guys
can
afford to go do it.
Yep.
You know, those types of guys are going to want to win, but I know that that is a sticking point. You know, there's going to be a lot of Eastern guys come over to Ontario because, really, they'll allow that motor to come into the APC or the Jucasa race or even any of the big ones over here. But I think, you know, some of them have a leech, you know, crate that is sealed by leech under the APC rules. Some of them have McGonagall, and then as well, some of them have Harpers. And they're not ASA, they're sealed by a motor builder.
Yeah.
And they're not like an ASA crate or you know, anything different. It's just away from the rule book of the Pro Stock Tour. So it'll be interesting. I think that if you do have a motor and you're on the East Coast and you want to make a couple extra bucks,
well, we'll find out what the series is.
Yeah, you might hear a couple more names not pop up now that the talk has been about that. Because like you say, anybody who has running the built motors and probably have a good crate from when they switch to that built, and you take the IWK 10 grand to win, a purse of over 90,000 usually.
Oh yeah, it's well in excess of 90 grand.
And like I say, the guy's name doesn't come to my mind, but the buddy that's bringing out the Biederman car, he's got a hauler coming with two spots empty or something like that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think it's an issue of getting cars out there. I think it's the biggest issue that holds it back. Like, honestly, I've seen both series run, and you know, they're the exact same car. They've got a different shock. They've got a little bit of a different approach on the car side. But really, if you meshed up the Ontario guys versus, you know, the top 15 Ontario guys versus the top 15 on the Pro Stock Tour, I think you'd have, you know, 30 of the best cars that you could ever imagine. You know,
well,
it's just, it comes down to that parity.
We're going to see that at Jucasa.
I think you're going to. You are going to see that at Jucasa.
Going up, so hopefully we get the thing coming back.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because Gary showed well engine-wise. He just had, like you say, the first year he had shock troubles, and then last year it was other stuff.
But yeah.
His motor seemed to be plenty strong, and I don't know if that was a used crate that he bought or if he
A little bit of an older car. I guarantee you, Gary Elliott didn't buy a motor to go down to the IWK 250. Guaranteed he didn't.
Yeah,
but we got the right guy coming on the program tonight. We got Ken Cunning coming up in just a few moments. But Kent, we appreciate the call, my man.
We'll keep listening.
You want to believe it? That is Kent out on the east coast of Canada. Cool, Kent listens all the time, never misses a beat.
Absolutely, and he gives us a fan insight for sure every time. You know, it's cool, and he always has a little piece of information in there too, right?
He always
brings a little piece of news that we didn't hear about. So it's good to talk to Kent, and absolutely, it's looking forward to talking to Ken as well.
Absolutely, we're gonna hit a quick break. When we come back, we are gonna have the general manager of that Parts for Trucks Tour with us. Ken Cunning's going to join us on the other side. Stay with us.
Hi, my name's Mark Salmon. I drive the number 78 Super Modified, sponsored by Wells Foundry, Curry Steel, and Mobile Scribing, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning man.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
They don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
It's the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
looking for victory.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90
takes you inside the sport like no one else.
One car upside down, on fire.
The biggest names in NASCAR.
This is Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano,
Kevin Harvick,
Jimmy Johnson,
Kyle Busch,
and Martin Truex Jr. on your home for NASCAR.
All year long.
Checker.
Keselowski just fired.
Got it.
All right, let's go finish this
time. It's all on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car.
All right, I'm out of here.
With the Sirius XM app.
Baseball.
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 Get out of here. Go.
Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM89, and the SiriusXM app.
Got an opinion? Give us a call.
Toll free at 1-888-572-2384.
That's 888-5-RACETIME.
The stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Scotia Speed World.
One of the best competitive opening days that we've ever seen.
Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the Cummins 150.
Hey, there's a lot of fast cars here today.
Saturday, May 26th.
I'm so glad to be back here. Try to get to the front, I guess.
Boys, this thing's going to be good.
It's the Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World.
The car control in the front of the field is incredible.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Going to be a lot of close racing.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide. Only on racetimeradio.com.
It's all about consistency that wins the championship.
Get to scotiaspeedworld.ca for tickets and info for the Cummins 150.
But you got to be there at the end.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167, Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in here on Sirius XM Channel 167. Let's get back to the hotline and we'll welcome in our next guest. This guy comes to us again from Halifax, or just outside of Halifax. He is the general manager for the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. And, oh, by the way, in his spare time, he's over at Scotia Speed World. This guy's a jack of all trades. Let's welcome in Ken Cunningham. Ken, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Joe. How are you tonight?
Doing fantastic. You getting a suntan down there? You getting ready for racing or what?
Well, we're moving that way. It's starting to dry up, the track and the grounds everywhere down here. We had a rain again today, and the snow's gone. I don't know if it's gone in Brad Mann's world up there. But,
I don't think it ever is.
It's gone.
Yeah.
I don't
think it's ever gone where Brad lives. He loves snowmobiling, that guy.
Yeah, they snowmobile perpetually up there, I think, year-round.
yeah, no kidding. A lot of guys got to be talking testing. And, Ken, I got to tell you, we've spoke to a lot of the competitors in the tour this year. We've reached out to many, many, and it sounds like we have a pile of brand-new hardware coming.
Yeah, it's a different year. There's a lot of new cars being built, acquired. People upgrading, and a lot of drivers, new drivers coming out with us, and some drivers that were with us before and for one reason or another weren't racing are coming back. And so it looks at registration form is up for us. Forms are higher this year at this time than they have been, so it looks good.
Yeah, you got to love it. And, you know, out on the island, and it was a big talk last year, there was some talk that, you know, out in PEI at Oyster Bed, they were going to create a pro stock, a regular Saturday night race, if you will, and they were going to run them on a regular basis. And there was some talk maybe it's going to cost us some cars that are going to run the tour. And I think, lo and behold, the way it's going to work out, we're going to end up with more guys running the Pro Stock Tour because they've got a place to run every now and then and do the tour. So I think it's going to work out for the best of everybody. Are you thinking the same way? Are you hearing that?
Well, I am. I think it's good for everybody. What's good for them is going to be good for us and vice versa. Their modified division was a good division. A lot of drivers on the Pro Stock Tour came from that division, but they were a one-of car and they couldn't travel, and the numbers were starting to dwindle as they ran out of cars and that sort of thing. And this way, a new team can get their feet wet locally and run 6-7 races, whatever they're going to run, and build up knowledge in the cars and experience, and then come out with us when we visit Oyster Bed Speedway and race with us. And then if they want to branch out further, they can come and race a few more races or race all of our races at some point. So I think it's good for everybody.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Now, the Parts for Trucks Tour, anybody that isn't familiar with the Parts for Trucks Tour, out on Canada's East Coast, you guys visit every maritime province. That tour goes through at least one of the racetracks in every one of those markets, if not more.
Exactly. We're a maritime tour. We're strictly in the three maritime provinces. They've been tugging at us to go further east and come back west and go across the border. We're just not built to do that. All our guys are working. They don't have the extra time to travel, so we concentrate on the three maritime provinces, and it's, I guess, the longest haul this year. For some people, will be 4 hours, 3.5 hours, something like that. So it's pretty centralized. We race at some four excellent racetracks, and it gives everybody competition. And the nice thing about the tracks in the Maritimes is they're all different. None of them are cut the same, and so you can be good at one track and not so good at another, and that's kind of interesting when we get new drivers on the tour, which tracks they acclimatize to faster than the others and which they struggle with and why, and that type of thing. So it's a mix for everybody, and I think it means the driver of a fast track isn't going to dominate, or a driver that can get around a tight track isn't going to dominate. You have to be an overall driver, so it brings that out as well.
Yeah, and the tour is loaded with history, right? You guys go back not only, it's the Parts for Trucks Tour, it was the CarQuest Tour before that, and really when you look back in the history books, it goes right back into the NASCAR days, correct?
Correct. NASCAR was here years ago, and it was primarily a racer-driven organization, and those guys were war horses. They sometimes raced twice a weekend, from Bathurst to come back to Halifax or Onslow, and it was a different era. Cars were a little easier to fix and a little cheaper and that type of thing. There was an international Pro Stock series, challenge series put together that raced here in Nova Scotia and then back into Maine, and that went for a few years. And the Parts for Trucks, as it's known today, the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour was in existence in 2000. So, we've got guys that have been coming through. Some guys that are race NASCAR are still racing with us. They were younger when they raced NASCAR, and we're starting to turn over, and some of the older guys are either going part-time or have retired, and their place is being taken, as it is everywhere, by younger drivers.
Yeah, historic names like you got Rolly McDonald that is in the pit area each and every race pretty well. You got names like Mike McKenzie and Donald Chisholm and Turple and, John Fleming. That guy's been around the block a time or two. 5-time champion in the Parts for Trucks Tour. And names. Sean Tucker is another one.
Yeah.
Historic short track names from across Canada that have made waves on all over the place in Canada.
Yeah, it's we're quite proud of the drivers we have. We hold them up highly in the sense that I would be, they could go anywhere in North America, and some of them have and compete. We have drivers that are going south more often than in the past. You go back to Scott Fraser days, he was successful down there. Other guys are going, and leaving a mark on the racing in the South. So our guys work hard at what they do. They're not full-time racers, but they have that full-time racer mentality. They may have a day job, but they're working nights in the shop. They get the cars ready, and when they get on the racetrack, they can wheel the race car.
Ken, are we seeing it? I know you mentioned it briefly. Are we seeing more travel now out of the Eastern guys than in years past, like, you know, 5, 8, 10 years ago?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, we've always had guys that went to into Maine, in New Hampshire, into that area because it's close to us. And, you know, you've got Greg Seward, who finished second in the Oxford 250, and Scott Kelly finished in top three, I think, down there. Scott Frazier went. Stevie Henderson went. And those types of things. I think what you're seeing now, Joe, is guys are going farther afield. You're talking snowball derbies, Easter bunnies. They're talking about, you know, all those races that at one time seemed so far away and so out of reach, but in today's world aren't.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the guys are touring and making a concentrated effort. And the cool part is, Ken, when they roll in the gate, these guys aren't coming in with the top five in mind. They're coming in to win.
Yeah, we have a number of drivers that can win every week and expect to win, or I shouldn't say expect to win, they want to win, and that's what they're geared for. And they push each other weekly with us up here in our series, and they battle each other, and they get the rivalries going, and it just makes them better racers. It makes the crew work a little harder on the race car to try to figure out how to get that car around the track a little better. And it just carries over, and down they go. And I think they probably have an aha moment somewhere down there where they walk through the gates or they drive through the gates, and they get in the pits and they look around at all these guys who were well-known racers, and you get on the racetrack with them, and you can race with them and beat a lot of them. And from that point on, I think it's a different mentality. It's like, I can do this. So let's get at it.
Yeah, the confidence level goes up, and rightfully so. The Parts for Trucks Tour, man, it's stacked with competition from one end to the other. Anybody in that top 20, I'm going to say, has really got the potential of putting together a top three finish, if not a winning finish. And that is something that, you know, a lot of different tours and series probably couldn't say wholeheartedly and be truthful about it. But it's definitely a fact in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Ken, we've got, the 250s. We've got the IWK 250 that comes up first in the tour, July the 14th. And then August the 11th, we've got the Cat 250, which is equally as important in the tour. They're both 250-lap races. They're iconic races. And we're finding that there is more interest now coming from, you know, Ontario, Quebec, south of the border, and guys maybe wanting to come in. Is it a situation, Ken, where, like, when it comes time for teching these things and to come down with the right parts and pieces, can you tell us what that motor rule is? Like, is it something where you got to buy an engine from the tour to race, or is it something where you got to have your engine sealed, or what is the case, just so that people here in Ontario know what it is?
We have a number of engine rules, I guess. You can run a built engine, and all the specs for that built engine are on in our rules package on the website. And you can run a crate engine, and we have some Ford crate engines, we have a Dodge crate engine, and we have the rest of the crate engines are GM engines. So when you buy an engine before, when a racer buys an engine, he orders it from whatever brand he's racing.
Right.
And he can buy it from whatever store he wants. But that engine comes to us, and it gets sealed with our tags on it. And we, you know, take the serial numbers on them, and away it goes. And then
right.
It goes to the racer. And then they race it. And we watch the tags. We check things during various techs during the year, and basically the biggest thing is trying to keep the engines equal.
Right. Yeah, it is.
They're not going to be all the same power, but, I mean, we do our best to keep the competition on the same playing field.
Absolutely. Now, when we talk about the iconic 250s, they're high-paying races, they're high-prestige, and you got guys that are going to want to travel in. How would they approach that? Would they come down early and get their engines sealed? Is that a possibility, or how would they do it?
We'd love to see guys come in. We've had Gary Elliott's been down a couple times to the IWK. Hathaway in the three car has been down. J.R. Fitzpatrick has raced with us in someone else's car, but he's coming this year. So we tell everybody that calls me, I just turn them over to Wayne Smith, our tech director,
mm-hmm.
and say, talk to Wayne, and we'll work with you as best as we can without compromising our program. So if somebody's thinking of coming, like APC kegs on the engines, we'll honor those. We've talked to APC in the past about how they seal them, when they seal them. So we have felt comfortable working with them in the past. And, we want as many cars as we can get without throwing the gates open and say, run what you've run, because that would be great for 1 year, and the next year we'd have fewer cars, and I'd say within 4 years we'd have no cars.
That's right. No, wholeheartedly agreed with you. The competition, and, we've been doing this for the last 8 years, and I can tell you, from my eyes, it's the best competition that I've witnessed, and each year it gets tougher and tougher and tougher, and that is a testament. And I'm blowing smoke, I'm telling you that right now. That's a testament to the teching and the lockdown that you guys have got on these cars. You guys do the best job I've ever seen in locking them down and keeping them as competitive as you can. And that is a tough, tough job to do.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're perfect by any means, but we work hard at it. We have a lot of man hours every week that goes into just tires, so we can keep a handle on that. Tech is crazy to keep up with now, the things that are happening, and they happen so fast. At one time it was 3 to 5 years coming north, now it's here that afternoon. So that's difficult. Wayne Smith is a pretty knowledgeable guy around these cars. He's a past multi-champion in these cars, so he's got an idea what to look for and where to look for and who to talk to, and he's down south during the winter doing his homework. So we work at it. And the biggest thing that we're trying to do is keep the competition close. We have teams that people probably recognize their names that win a lot, but it's not like they're running away with races. The gap is getting so much smaller from front to back, and you have to be on your game that day. If you're off your game that particular day, you're going to be behind the eight ball and you're not going to catch up. If you're not prepared when you come to the racetrack, you might as well leave the car in the trailer, because you're not going to compete with these guys, because everybody is doing their homework and putting the work in, and it shows on the track. The competition gets closer and closer. People are winning, but the margin is less.
Yeah.
Here it seems.
How many times have we seen big-time quality race teams, Junior, in the Parts for Trucks Tour miss it by a little bit, and it looks like they missed it by a mile?
Yeah, 100%. You know, when I was out there the first time, now this is a couple years back, but you on the airplane on the way out, to my first Parts for Trucks race, you said, oh, you got to watch this 99 car of Craig Slonwhite, and you got to watch him, close, because he's fast. And we got there, and he had the worst weekend that he had ever had.
Yeah.
And it looked like, and he got out of the car, and I walked over and I talked to him, and he's like, no, we're just like a little bit off. And, he went out there and finished 10th. But then he won like 2 weekends later after that. So, and it's been like that all the way through. And we've talked to a lot of guys, and really, they, to show the quality of race teams that you guys have in the Parts for Trucks Tour, listening in, usually the guys can you know, have a bad qualifying session and reel it back in and have a good race. And that's when you begin to know that you have really good teams. You know, your qualifying order means technically nothing because the teams are going to go back, work on their stuff, get it better for the race, and you know, get out there and get after it and you know, get a better finishing position than where they qualified. And that is a true testament to where, you know, the entire group is, not just the top five.
Yeah, Joe, I think they all work at it, too, because we run last practice, and then the cars come in, and we go to the driver's meeting. And in that 5-10 minute period between the time they're off and they get to the driver's meeting, there's a whole lot of downloading going to the crew. And while the drivers are all in the tech shed at a meeting, the crew's back working on the race car to fix whatever is wrong or get a little extra in this corner, or a little more bite off, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, we always talk, I guess, about racing being a team sport, and I don't know how many people buy into that that sit in the grandstand sometimes, because the driver gets all the glory, but it's all those other guys who work in the car all week and come to the racetrack and hump tires around and change them and crawl under the damn thing when it's hot to make adjustments and that sort of thing. So it's certainly a labor of love, and they get better and better at it, and it reflects in the quality on the racetrack, and makes the driver look better too.
We're with Ken Cunning tonight. He is the general manager of the Parts for Trucks Tour, as well the general manager of Scotia Speed World. And Ken, I guess to get that way in the Parts for Trucks Tour, to be competitive, to be that kind of team, it all stems from, you know, your Friday night, your Saturday night racing that happens. And I know that is getting wound up and ready to go. Another crop of potentials is all going to come out of Scotia Speed World again. I know things are getting ready to fire off there, too. How's it looking?
It's looking good, actually. I was over. Our office is shut down on a day-to-day basis until April 1st. And I was over there the end of March. And I think we had, you know, like 10 registrations for Scotia and 4 for Parts for Truck Tour. And as soon as we open in April, they just flood in. So we've got our high numbers. I think we've got 87 cars registered already for Scotia. We run everything from Bandolero cars to sportsman cars or limited late models, whatever you want to call them. It's a proving ground for drivers, and they come in and they move up and they just keep moving. I guess from our perspective at Scotia, we have a number of drivers. Craig Slomwhite, you talked to him. He raced at Scotia over the years. The Butcher Boys did that. Blankhorn's done that. DJ Casey's done that. Sean Turple has done it. John Fleming has come through. Now, there's other drivers that come to us, and they do the same thing at whatever their home track was as well. And it's just like any local short track. You know, they race on the weekend, and they learn their craft, whether it's driving and setting the car up or understanding what it does, and they just keep progressing and attract that sponsorship and then keep moving on up.
Yeah, it's not for everybody moving on up. Some guys will get sewn right into the Friday night program, which isn't bad at all. They become professional short track racers on a Friday night and have no aspirations of going to the tour. And then there'll be that handful of guys, and it always seems like we've got that handful of guys, and it's a new crop each and every year or every 2 years. We got another crop coming through that are focused in on the tour, and they're not going to quit until they make it. And it's kind of cool watching the progression come all the way through. You guys do a fantastic job of it. Love the Friday night program, and even love the tour more when we get a chance to see it and call it. It's incredible.
Yeah, we have guys at Scotia. We have a guy that spent 20 years in a four-cylinder car. He's damn good in his four-cylinder car, but that's fits his lifestyle and, I guess, his budget and every other thing. And given no barriers, I think everybody would like to go to the top level. But everybody's situation's a little different. And some of the smaller divisions, you need less people to help you on a week-to-week basis so you can be competitive with a with maybe just yourself. There's guys running legend cars that come to the racetrack by themselves. So there's always a horse for everyone to ride, I think, when you get to a local track that runs a weekly series.
Speaking of legend cars, how's that legend driver that's in the family there? How's Scotty doing, your son?
He's doing all right. He still has some health issues. His cars are packed in the shop and haven't moved all winter, so I'm not even sure they're going to hit the racetrack this year.
Well, fingers crossed he gets a chance to get that baby out. I love watching that 14 fly around.
Yeah, he misses it, actually, but he's busy at work, so there's that, and they just got to get his health situation straightened away, and then he can get back to race car. I think he misses it, but he just doesn't have the energy, or I guess he's not healthy enough to do what he has to do to get it ready and then run it on a weekly basis.
Yeah, you know he's not feeling good if he isn't in that shop cranking on that race car. You know he'll get that fixed up, though. We'll see him back out. I can just about guarantee it. As soon as he feels good, lug out.
Yeah, he works on the tour for us, and I joke with him. He travels with me and Wayne Parker, and joke with him that he's missing racing because he's cranky when we get to the Saturday. At the end of Saturday night, he's a little cranky, so we say, that's just because you miss racing the damn car.
Incredible. So practice day, when is your practice day for Scotia Speed World?
The Saturday, Sunday before opening, which is May 20th. So that's when we're going. It's actually the day after Petty's, which wasn't good planning on our part because some of the crew on the tour work Scotia as well. So we've got that worked out in case it's the first Petty race is rained out. We've got a way to get the people back to Halifax that we need to get back for the Sunday race.
Yeah, a lot of planning goes into it, I can guarantee you. You got a crop of real good people there with you guys. The whole network works real good together.
Yeah, it's you know, a lot of guys and girls have been with us for a while. I know when sometimes we're doing planning in the off season, the big guy looks at it and says, "You need all these people?" And the answer is, "Yeah, and more."
And more, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
it would make it easier, but no, they're dedicated to it, and they put the time in it, but also they have pride in what they're doing, and they want the tour to do well, or they want the track to do well, and they take pride in their particular portion of it, and I really appreciate that. It makes it much easier.
Well, you
from
guys,
my end, anyway.
You guys do a dynamite job, I can guarantee. And I know we're all looking forward to getting the green flag in the air for both the Speed World and the Parts for Trucks Tour. Ken, we haven't got much time left now. We're going to have what we wish for is going to come true.
That's right. I think the weather's going to be good this year. I'm optimistic. Can't be any worse than last year. That's for sure. But the track's drying out nice. People are calling and saying, when's practice? You know, when can we start getting at the track to practice? When do you have tires? So that buzzes around, and it'll carry us through to opening day.
Yeah, it sure will. Can't wait. Robbie Bonas probably already got his shorts on. He can't wait to get on that stand.
I don't think he takes them off all winter either. Yeah, I don't know. He's tough. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he's like a UPS driver. Those guys are crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Kenny, this has been great catching up with you, buddy. Really do appreciate the time.
Oh, Joe, I appreciate it very much. It's not often I get on the Joe and Joe show.
Well, we got to get you with a Blue Jay hat on and get rid of that Boston lid.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so. Kenny, have a good one, buddy. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay, guys, thanks very much.
You bet. That's Ken Cunning, the general manager of the Parts for Trucks Tour. along with Scotia Speed World, a wealth of information. Great guy.
Absolutely awesome guy, and does a great job with the series. And he's definitely the figurehead. When you go there, he's a busy cat at the racetrack.
He is. But, you know, the pressure on that guy. Everybody wants something different. And I can understand, back when I had the All-Star Racing Series, you got, 30 race teams, give or take a few.
Yep.
Every one of them wants something different.
Yes.
And the rules are no good, and the track is no good, and those officials are crazy, and all this is, and you know what? The guy that is, responsible for it all, feels absolutely every single comment and every, arrow that gets thrown his way and every laurel that gets thrown his way. That man is under incredible pressure. And I can honestly say I've watched him under that pressure. He reacts right, and he's always got the best interest of the fans in hand and the race teams. He does it in that order, and you know what? Ken Cunning does the right job. He's the right man for the job, and thank God we got him.
Absolutely, for sure. Echoed that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, amazing. We're going to hit our final break, Junior, and when we come back, we're going to hear big news. NASCAR purchases ARCA on the weekend. We're going to hear some of that press conference. We'll try and slide in with Spencer Gallagher. We still got a little bit here for you, so stick around.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
The stars are the parts for trucks. Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Return to Scotia Speed World.
One of the best competitive opening days that we've ever seen.
Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the Cummins 150.
Hey, there's a lot of fast cars here today.
Saturday, May 26th.
I'm so glad to be back here. Try to get to the front, I guess.
Boys, this thing's going to be good.
It's the Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World.
The car control in the front of the field is incredible.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
There's going to be a lot of close racing.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide. Only on racetimeradio.com.
It's all about consistency that wins the championship.
Get to scotiaspeedworld.ca for tickets and info for the Cummins 150.
But you got to be there at the end.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at dawsondental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit bobbleheadscanada.ca.
Baseball. Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing, the right leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Race Time Radio. SiriusXM 167. Now, here's Joe.
And we are back with you live tonight. Welcome aboard. Getting closer to the top of the hour, Junior. We still got lots to cover off here. Big news on the weekend. NASCAR purchased ARCA. That is huge news.
Yeah, definitely. A big acquisition. And when you look at it, you know, the biggest thing that kind of stands out to me, obviously, you can't compare Langley Speedway, where the NASCAR K&N Series was at this weekend, to Talladega, where the ARCA Series was at.
Right.
But, you know, one thing that you look at is the K&N Series had 15 cars in it. At Langley.
Yeah.
And you had a full field of 40 cars roll off for the green flag at Talladega Speedway. So in the ARCA Series. So you would put those two together hypothetically into the future. I don't know whether that's the plan, but when you look at it, a great acquisition by NASCAR.
Yeah, it sure is. I've got the press conference pulled down in case everybody missed it, which I do believe you would have because I don't think it was done live. So I want to play some of it. We're only going to have a time to play a little bit of it. But here, have a listen to it. It will take you back to when the announcement took place on Saturday. Here we go.
Joining us for a very special announcement are Jim France, Vice Chairman and Executive Vice President of NASCAR and a member of NASCAR's founding family, and Ron Draeger, the President of ARCA and grandson of ARCA founder John Markham. Let's get right to it. Jim, I'll turn it over to you to share the news.
Okay, thank you. And thanks, everyone, for allowing us to have a few minutes of your time here for what for me, and I think for Ron also, is probably one of the most exciting announcements that we've had in our lifetime. We've worked together over the years for a long time. As a young kid, I used to spend a lot of time sitting in his grandmother's lap in Daytona. His Mildred and John Markham were partners and friends with my mom and dad in the early days of stock car racing. The ARCA organization has been closely associated with NASCAR before there was a NASCAR and before there was an ARCA, and today is an exciting time that we're making a formal joining of the two organizations. It's a I think a big moment for stock car racing in America. We've worked together closely for 70 plus years in one form or another. Ron and I have worked together and known each other through basically all of our motorsports careers. And it's fantastic that we're going to be working together going off into the future here. Both organizations have a great history, great championships. We share a lot of teams and drivers over the years, and that will continue in a major way. We have the opportunity of, and a lot of people may not realize this, but Ron and ARCA have been at the forefront of some of the development of trying to bring some efficiencies and cost savings for motorsports teams, stock car teams in America. And NASCAR's got a similar effort going. Ron has been a leader in that area. It really allows both companies to go forward working together to try and improve the economics for our teams and our series. So I'll turn this over to Ron here in a second. I just, first of all, this is a wonderful moment.
It is a great
moment.
And
Ron?
Ron, Jim mentioned the shared history between your family and the France family. Tell us a little more about that from your perspective.
Well, you have to go back. You know, in the 40s, the Markham and France family predates NASCAR, predates ARCA. And in professional motorsports, I don't know that there's any longer tenure looking back over all these years. And for us to have had a working relationship that wasn't, you know, a legal document but was a handshake for 67 years, I think speaks volumes about NASCAR and their integrity. We've been blessed to be able to carve our little sport, our spot in the sport and our industry position. We work hard at it. We've tried to do it the best that we can, and It's really it's sort of a feeling of fulfillment because it sort of brings it back full circle to.
Yeah, pretty cool that ARCA, and that's all we're going to have time for tonight with that, but huge news, Junior.
Yeah, definitely a massive piece of news, and you know, hopefully everything, you know, is for the best, and I think it is. I think it's great news for the ARCA competitors to have that NASCAR ability on the marketing side, but yeah, hats off to them, and best of luck to them.
Yeah, we'll have lots to talk about, I can guarantee you that, everybody, but that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Susie here. Got to thank the guys in Toronto for hooking us up. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Enjoy yourselves. We'll catch you back here next Sunday night on Racetime Radio. Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.